Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
This is Dan and Jordan Burke. Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest.
Your
monastery of the mind, where we lift our hearts and minds to heaven to draw upon the wisdom of the saints to help us navigate the tumult of this life. We're on the last show of
this series,
Finding Peace in the Storm, Uniformity with God's Will. And we had a question from the last show, a viewer from the last show, and they asked, how do you deal with fatigue? Is that right, Mr. Producer? How do you deal with fatigue? So I can thankfully tell you that I've had a pretty tough week of that. I've had pretty extreme.
I feel like that's been most of your life, actually.
Well, Jordan, right. Well, you've known me.
Yeah.
The various, illnesses that I have and the medications that I have to take and the amount of sleep that I lose, both because of the meds and just because of my natural inability to sleep, leads to a pretty constant ebb and flow of dealing with fatigue. And some of the secrets are, now, before I say this, I have been pretty down about it at times, doesn't help anything. But when you have a lot to do and you feel like God's calling you, to do these things, and you really care a lot, but you have no energy, wow, it is a bummer. And it can make you very sad,
Well, you have a desire to commune with God.
Yeah.
And the person who asked this question knows as well that like mental prayer outside of the Eucharist and adoration is the best way to do that.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, well, I have this desire. I know it's a good desire. I know God wants it and I can't accomplish it. It's really frustrating.
Well, and the question I have is, can you accomplish it?
Well, yeah.
It's what you think is, right. So the first thing you have to do when you struggle with chronic fatigue is you just have to embrace the reality that you have to ride the waves. So what does that mean? What I've learned is when I'm on a low and my energy is super low and I don't have any way to remedy it, I just ride it out and just say, and I just tell myself, I'm going to be better sometime soon, because it always is true. Now, as I get older, unfortunately, though I'm getting healthier in some ways, and though I had a really bad year last year, taking care of my body better and eating better and exercising now every day, God be praised, I still have some pretty serious fatigue. And today is one of those days. It's not red fatigue, I'd call it yellow, but you ride it out and you just thank the Lord and say, okay, this is humbling. I can't teach. Sometimes I can't teach, which I love to do. Sometimes I can't work out in the retreat center, which I love to do. I just have no energy whatsoever. And sometimes I have to sleep more during the day. Take naps, try to refresh, whatever. So I just write it out and just say, thanks be to God. This suffering is there for a reason. And just tell myself it's going to be over. I love Stephanie's phrase. I don't know where she got it. Every storm runs out of rain, And that's what gives me strength. Now we can talk about how to deal with that in prayer, but I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm curious, was there ever a phase where it was your struggle turned into a scrupulous misunderstanding of meriting anything in prayer? Because I feel like I've had some of that, and I know for a fact that there are people listening who definitely have that.
Yeah.
Who, I'm not saying that this person asked a question did, I don't know.
Maybe explain it to me a little more.
Going to mental prayer and being tired. I get up at 4 to pray every morning. It's the first thing I do is pray. And there are times where I'm just struggling, to stay awake. And then I leave and I'm like, I feel like I did nothing.
Yeah.
And it could become a scrupulous like, okay, my prayer wasn't meritorious because, you know, I didn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does. Well, then most of my prayer is not meritorious, you know? So, yeah.
But we know intellectually that to not be true.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so, you know, what's the secret to growing in prayer? Just show up.
Yeah.
And there are times, I think, yesterday morning, just because I'm on a fatigue wave, that I slept probably half of my normal prayer time. I got up at 3:45. My alarm clock went off on purpose, yeah, you know, so that I had time to pray and then exercise and that sort of thing. And I'm pretty darn tired, and my prayer time was distracted by something else today. But regardless, yeah, it's self-condemnation is a total waste of time. I'll just say that.
Yeah.
It's not, God gave me the body I have. I'm taking the best care of it I can.
Yeah.
I'm going to bed regularly at the same time. I don't sit up watching movies all night. I don't, you know, I'm not drinking, you know, I didn't have a glass of wine on my bedstand last night, you know, or the night before that, right, you know, so, I'm doing everything I know to do to
be faithful. You've been
given. Yeah. But my body just doesn't work very well.
Right.
And God gave it to me.
Right.
Why did he give it to me? Because I would be a prideful, arrogant, insufferable human being without all of this difficulty.
Yeah.
So thanks be to God. I don't always thank him for it. I should. But I don't always thank him for it, but I'd have, you know, but I have to just say, Jesus, I trust in you, and say, and there have been times in sort of a humorous way, I say, you know, this is your fault. Let's just be clear. I don't know if we're clear on this. This is your fault. This is the body you gave me. I can't stay awake. Is there something else I'm supposed to be doing? If there is, I'd sure love you to tell me. But until then, you know, I'm going to sleep.
You can only drink so much caffeine. So yeah, it's a combination of grace sufficient to the day.
Yeah.
And then I think the thing that helped me too, when I have those moments that feel a little bit more scrupulous, and I think that's been, I've been really sick. I don't know if anyone can still hear it in my voice, over 100-degree fever for multiple, like almost.
Yeah, you had a bad straight flu or something.
It was really bad. So my prayer was just absolute garbage.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm like waking up in puddles of sweat and trying to pray and passing out, up and passing out.
But aren't you glad you showed up?
Well, and I think that's one of the things that I noted. Okay, I'm not dealing with this scrupulous kind of thing that's been popping up recently. And it's because I recognized I'm doing the best I can in the situation that God's given me. And I know that God knows that. There's nothing more that I can do. And that's all he asks of me.
And he's a good father.
Right, right.
He looks, you know what a good father, I was thinking about little Leaser. Our producer's kid, you know, whenever I mention him, Chase's face lights up like the sun. You know, we just think of God as like this mean, you know, ready to pounce, whack-a-mole God. You know, you popped up, you're the one getting hit, you know, and I don't like what you're doing. You're going to get hit and I'm going to punish you and all of that. But when you see your little ones, when you're a good parent, you see your little ones struggling, but they're trying to do well, it endears you more to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not less.
Yeah.
And when they fall and they're weeping, it endears you more to them, not less.
Right.
Why? Because you so desperately want them to be, you know, to know all the good that you know of God and to discover all the good and to be, you know, the best that they're designed to be by God. And so, you know, we just have to recognize that our God is a God of mercy and kindness. The only people in the New Testament Jesus got rude with, there's only one exception, were the self-righteous.
Yeah.
He nailed the self-righteous, the prostitutes, the sinners, the broken people, the possessed, you know, the ones who were sick. What did they see from him?
Total compassion.
Mercy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love, mercy, love, just nothing but it. It's one of the reasons I think The Chosen is such a great gift. You know, with all of its flaws, it clearly communicates a God of mercy in a very powerful, beautiful way. Yeah. And I admit there are problems with it, but frankly, you know, I just, it's art. Yeah. So I won't go off on my rant about that, but it's art, and it's not a doctrinal statement.
Right.
And all art is all art is is erroneous. Yeah,
every image of Jesus ever painted is incorrect.
Right. So, yeah. So, not to go down that path, but the point being, our God is good God, and He looks at us like just a loving parent.
Well, the Spirit speaks in groans that we can't understand, right? So that's another thing that helps get peace, is like, Spirit inside you, God knows.
You know?
Like there's a lot going on that we're probably not perceptive of at all.
Yeah, and if, you know, like when you're at 100 plus fever and you want to pray, and let's say you didn't show up in a sense, but you desire, what does He see? He sees your heart, He sees that desire. He knows you can only do what you can do. Yeah. So often we hold ourselves accountable to things that we can't do. And I have to be careful when I do my examine every day. Funny enough, there's this weird pattern of mine where I will mark myself incomplete and then go, wait, that wasn't even possible to complete.
Yeah.
How is it that I'm giving myself a negative when I couldn't even do it?
Right.
You know, we just, those were going from good to better. This is not for the slothful or the slothful. Those who are going from good to better tend to be extremely hard on themselves. So we're about to the end of the book. I'm curious for you, Jordan, and, you know, we probably talk more about this when we get back from the break. Day to day, what has been the biggest impact of this book on your life? Because I know it had a huge impact on your life, which is why you recommended it to me. And then I read it and then, of course, wrote this spiritual commentary on it, and it's had a huge effect on me too. I think when we get back from the great break, what I'd like to do is talk about what has been that impact. Like, if you can think about what's the biggest impact. And for those who are just tuning in or tuned in late, we're talking about Finding Peace in the Storm, Reflections on St. Alphonsus Uniformity with God's Will. We're on the last show of a how many part series, producer man? 11 part series. And you can find all of those shows out on spiritualdirection.com, or you will eventually be able to.
They're all, yeah.
Except
they're
for
on
this
the,
one.
They're all on the YouTube page.
This one and the last one, or the before this one's there too.
It'll be on the YouTube page.
On the YouTube page. So spiritualdirection.com's YouTube page. So go out there and check that out. When we get back from the break, we're going to wrap things up with what's been the biggest impact for Jordan and for myself on this powerful perspective provided by St. Alphonsus Liguori. We'll be right back.
The beautiful fact that no suffering is wasted, that all suffering has a purpose, and to wrestle with the idea, which is that everything that happens in our lives is either willed or permitted by God. Okay, God, why would you permit these things? I know that you're a good father and you're a loving father, so there's something there. So I have to bridge this gap between your permission of my suffering to your love for me as a father. And Uniformity with God's Will, the book by St. Alphonsus Liguori, bridges that gap. And he explains, as only he can, because he's such a hard hitter, the reality that these are all moments of growth, of virtue, of, hey, your legs are weak. You're like a newborn deer. You can't stand on your own. We need to get you to stand on your own. You know, those sorts of things. Even desolation, you know, the day-to-day kind of the ebbs and flows of the spiritual life. Those things are all permitted for a greater good, whatever that might be.
Check out the brand new updated version of Uniformity with God's Will titled Finding Peace in the Storm with commentary by Dan Burke.
Dan and Jordan Burke, welcome back to Divine Intimacy Radio. And if you're wondering where Stephanie is, she's on a visit to family, a sick family member. Jordan's been a part of this show anyway. He's been with us on this as the third person discussing Finding Peace, because he's the one who brought the book to my attention. And so before the break, I asked Jordan, and I'll share my own stories about what's been the biggest effect of this perspective, this wisdom from St. Alphonsus on your life. in particular, and maybe some examples?
Yeah, I think for me, it gave me a profound freedom where I have a new lens in which to look at everything that happens.
And what do you mean by freedom? Don't lose the new lens, but.
So in our lives, we're going to have all sorts of different things happen to us, good and bad.
Mm-hmm.
And because the world has fallen, it's probably going to be a lot of bad for a lot of people a lot of the time. And that has varying degrees and varying levels, right? Something incredibly small to something, you know, incredibly large. What's profound about this, the freedom that I'm talking about, is no matter what the thing may be, whatever that circumstance or occurrence may be, it allows you to take that circumstance and know that God is working in the midst of it and reframe how you see everything. So even to the point of where, you know, I've noticed where people where we are drive like absolute maniacs, like absolute psychopathic maniacs.
The producer is agreeing with
yeah.
you.
And I used to be a cop and I've seen bad driving. It's where we're at. It's insane. It doesn't make any sense. Running red lights, all that kind of stuff. So say you get cut off in traffic, which has happened to me plenty of times because I'm not in a hurry to go anywhere. I have even started thinking, you know, maybe God allowed that so I'd slow down a little bit more to potentially avoid a wreck further on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's, and that may sound like, I don't know, it may sound goofy to some people, but instead of me being ticked off, I'm thinking maybe God permitted that for something that I don't know.
Yeah.
And in that case, what's happening? Well, for one, I'm orienting myself to God in a moment of struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And you should be orienting yourself to God all the time anyway.
Right.
You know? And so there's a freedom in that. So whatever hard or trial or circumstance comes up, there's a freedom, there's a peace. And okay, well, God's in charge. He's King of Kings. You know, he's a king conqueror. So I'm just going to trust that whatever he's doing is for my benefit. You know, whatever he's permitted is for my benefit. So I don't know. That's been the biggest thing for me, is it was almost like a flip of a switch where it's like, I am no longer going to allow situations to dictate my response. It's all going to be oriented towards God, and I'm going to choose to thank him in whatever circumstance, if I can remember, in whatever circumstance comes up, because I'm certainly not perfect at it. But
what's super powerful about that perspective is I think most of us go through life and the circumstances are the circumstances.
Yeah.
And we don't think about God.
Yeah.
And we don't think about what he's doing. And we because we don't trust him or whatever.
Which is depressing and aimless in a way. It's like, you basically have two choices. Everything is happening to me and it is what it is, and I'm just floating through life. Or God is working in the background, moving you because he loves you, moving these chess pieces, you know, not that we're predestined or anything, right? Like not going that route, but he's moving these chess pieces to open up an opportunity for you, or to avoid something, or to, you know what I mean?
Or to like, teach you something.
Or to teach you something, or to help you gain virtue.
Or to heal you, or to.
Right. Every single circumstance. And so when you start thinking everything is either willed by God or permitted by God, it totally fundamentally changes how you view life and go about life on a daily basis.
I agree. I guess, you know, in the way it affects me is similar. To be super practical, it's, you know, I used to get frustrated by, I'm not a great detail person. So working on the car, you know, the third bolt time I drop the bolt because I can't get it on.
Right.
I'm like, you know, complaining, gritching, and maybe even cursing under my breath or in my head, you know, or just not wanting to do it and just saying, forget it. You know, this is stupid. But slowing down and asking that question, you know, where is the Lord in all this?
Right.
And remembering John of the Cross's admonition too, of, you know, not to the easiest, but to the hardest. And, you know, because we need that purification.
Well, in the example of the bolt, I mean, you're getting frustrated.
Yeah.
Well, what does that indicate? There's a lack of virtue there.
You know
what I mean?
Yeah.
Not to call you out or anything. Uh-huh. And so what is God doing? he may very well be permitting you to drop that stupid bolt,
right?
So that you can work on attaining this virtue.
Well, what's funny is it actually happened yesterday, and you know this because you helped me, but I didn't get mad about it.
Right.
I just went, okay, can't do this by myself. Yeah. Whenever somebody else is available, I'll get them. And I, you know, reached out to you and you're able to come and help me out. But yeah, it's funny because I don't know if this is you too, but I tend to be, it's easier for me to look up when things are really, really, really dire, like just huge issues, like near death, you know, like when I've been, a million times I've been hospitalized, so that's easier. What's harder, but thanks be to God, certainly been more prevalent in my life now than in the past, is the little annoyances or the challenges with people, you know, can be super painful. And what I've noticed, you know, through this kind of study, and of course the other books that we've read and studied in similar fashion, the Searching for and Maintaining Peace by Jacques Philippe, and then the other one is Sacrament of the Present Moment by Jean-Pierre de Caussade. I've been studying these things for years. But what it's changed in me is just, one, slowed me down. I've learned that I have to work and live at a pace of prayer to have peace. What does that mean? Well, that means I'm not moving with such intensity or speed that I am unable to look up.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So being in a living in a more prayerful way gives space for you to be able to see God.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're running too fast and you're trying to get too many things done, and you're juggling too many things, that's when I stop seeing him.
Or if you're only responding to the situations.
Right.
I think we have a fundamental disposition to praise God in the good, seek God in the horrific. But we're lacking this middle area.
The bigger middle area where most of the stuff goes
90%
down.
Exactly. And what's beautiful about this practice and uniformity with God's will is that when you can better manage yourself in that 90%, that more common aspect, the day-to-day, those small things, whatever it may be, the easier it becomes to handle the bigger things that come your way.
Totally, you know, true.
Where you're not just spinning out of control.
Yeah.
It's like, it's no different than going to the, it sounds like a trite thing, but it's no different than going to the gym and training, you know, a particular thing. You get stronger. So eventually if you have to, you know, do something on the farm, you know, we experience this all the time. It's like, I have to lift this, you know, chemical tank or sprayer tank. Oh, hey, it's way easier. Well, why? Well, because I've been going to the gym.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So when you have these bigger trials that come along, you can handle those much better. You can have way more peace because you've been practicing it in the day to day.
Well, and it happened to me last year. I had some of the most severe lung problems I've had in my life. And I was on the highest doses of a very problematic medication. And I was able, I don't know what it was like from the outside in, but the medication usually makes me irritable because it has that effect on you. It causes you to be jittery and, you know, like you drink 1,000 milligrams of caffeine. But I think your mama, Stephanie, and my wife would attest to a little bit better practice in dealing with that because of this book, because of this wisdom, and because of the ability to better, you know, see, okay, what's going on. And then I adopted that practice. I think maybe you were part of it, which is that I'm still doing it, which is when my alarm buzzes for the hour, it's offering all the suffering the past hour, in case I forgot, and all the sufferings for the hour to come, you know, up for some intention, instead of just like, oh, this suffering is meaningless and it just hurts and I don't like it. I'm going to join with God and use it to, you know, to unite with him in prayer. The other thing is, when you suffer, you realize how you can join in and console the heart of Jesus, you know. Recently, I was judged, you know, harshly by someone in a very painful way. And in my mind, I'm thinking, yeah, you probably deserved it. Jesus didn't. However unjust it may be, you know, console the heart of Jesus. Lean into that pain. Recognize he suffered it 100,000 times worse than you ever could.
Right.
You know, join with him. offer it back up for the person who misjudged you. Frankly, it's a beautiful life rather than a life of just, oh, I don't like this. Oh, I don't like that. I don't feel good. I wish it didn't have, don't like the weather. Don't like how I, you know, what a miserable existence.
It really is.
If there's not a reason for suffering and we can't.
And that's the thing. I mean, suffering is going to come no matter what.
So right.
You basically have a choice to either adopt this mindset that all the saints had, you know, all of them,
mm-hmm.
or you're going to rail against it and fight against it and think of how much merit you're losing in that fighting against it.
Yeah. So I owe you a great debt in telling me about the book.
Yeah.
And to Sophia Institute Press for printing or allowing me to write Finding Peace in the Storm, Reflections on St. Alphonsus Liguori's Uniformity with God's Will. If you struggle with a lack of peace, there are two books that'll completely wreck that pathway for you and give you a better one. And that's this one, Finding Peace in the Storm. The other one is Spiritual Warfare and Discernment of Spirits, and learning how to deal with spiritual desolation. Then, of course, Into the Deep, which teaches you about mental prayer. Those three together are really extraordinary, not because I wrote them, but because they reflect the teachings of the church, the wisdom of the saints. And if you're wanting to get out of that rut you've been in and that darkness you've been in, dig into this wisdom. You know, if you don't like to read books, did you narrate Finding Peace in the Storm?
I narrated this one.
Jordan narrated it. So he also narrated
Devil in
the Castle.
It's a very quick book, too.
Yeah, it's a very quick and easy book to read. But pick those up. Start your practice of daily mental prayer. You know, right now we're recording this. I mean, I don't know when you'll hear it on EWTN, but it's Lent time, and no better time than to pick up a habit of prayer. And if it's after Lent, you know, it's also good too. Just there's no time like the present to really say to the Lord, okay, I'm all in. Help me to see what you see in the way that you see.
Yeah.
And then when you do that, you will find peace in the midst of the storm.
Until next time, may the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May he preserve you whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body. You're approachable at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.